Hope and Joy and Peace is available. If you'll turn, flesh fest right this way, the kingdom of God, repent and turn. What's going on over here?
I shared a whole bunch of truth with
awesome. What's your name, man?
Cody.
Cody?
Yeah.
I'm Tupos. Nice to meet you, man. Can I help you with anything today?
Not really. I'd have to think for a minute. She kind of answered all my questions.
Yeah? Are you an attendee here? Yeah.
Yeah,
so
a group of friends
I would just tell you. Would you bring it back? I'm pretty thirsty.
Yeah. Okay.
I would just tell you that this is an offering for worldly, carnal, fleshly goats. And Jesus talked about the sheep and the goats. And who are God's sheep? They hear his voice. They follow him. None of this went on in the New Testament body of Christ. It's fleshly music. You know, Toby.
Yeah.
Toby Mack is a millionaire. How did he get to be a multimillionaire?
Music.
Selling the things of God. It's ungodly, carnal music. It's not of the Father. Hip-hop music is not of God. Instrumental fleshly music is not of God. In the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, the Bible says you get the joy of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole bunch of these false religious bodies, and you know what they're teaching you? You jump up and down, you yell and scream, and you dance around. That is not what we see in the New Testament. You look up the word kara. In the New Testament, it means inner calm and cheer. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't do this. Paul didn't do this. John the Baptist didn't do this. Now, you'll say David did it. No. David, before he had the Holy Spirit, was a fleshly man.
Before we go too much further, kara, yeah. Where are you getting that word from?
Kara, joy is the Greek word kara.
Oh.
Yeah, so look up the Greek word.
So when you're referring to verses, it's going to be a New Testament.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. So we always look up, I'm sorry if I didn't say that, always look up the Greek and the Hebrew of the words, and it's very meaningful. Like the word church in the King James Bible. When you say the word church in America, most people think of a building and a religious system. But look up that word, it's ecclesia or ecclesia. And you know what it means?
Gathering of the body.
It's a gathering, but it's called out ones. Mm-hmm. And see, the King of England, when he had that translation done, King James, I use it, but he got to test every word. When he did that, he wanted to be king. He was an Anglican, Church of England. He wanted the clergy to report to him. He wanted the people to report to the clergy. If you see the New Testament model, it's nothing like that. Jesus said in Matthew 10, you will not rule over people. You'll be a servant. And so Paul had biblical godly men overseeing bodies to keep them out of heresy. But all of us men could get up, could speak, could use our gifts, could teach. Today in churchianity, they got a pulpit. You can't get to the pulpit unless the pastor approves it. He controls everything. And have you noticed something? The Holy Spirit moves in the New Testament body, excuse me, in churchianity between 10 and noon every Sunday, and it ends. When holy saints gather in a house body, it could last 8 hours. We're talking, we're sharing, we're going to the scriptures. And so it's all very carnal. It's all very fleshly. Paul says, keep the traditions I've handed down in 2 Thess 2:15. That's not life fest, flesh fest. So this music is fleshly. They're linked to Roman Catholicism. The mass goes on here every day.
I didn't know that part.
Which is total, corrupt, false. This is a blasphemy against Jesus. Bob Lentz, he's a corrupt heretic, false teacher who runs this. I got pictures right on my website. Look it up. If you Google Life Fest Exposed.
I have no internet with everyone here.
Okay, right. But when you go Google it, look it up, you'll see a picture of Bob Lentz praying with Roman Catholic priests. He says they're my mentors.
Okay.
So it's Roman Catholic linked. They're going to have a man named Andrew Palau. I have a video of him on my testing link of Life Fest. He tells people, this is the gospel. Believe in Jesus and raise your hand and say this prayer and welcome to the family of God. You're going to heaven. Not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says by the shed blood of Jesus, we can come. We can make our way to the kingdom because of what he did, his death, burial, and resurrection. We can't work our way there. Then the Bible says, repent. Change your mind, change your ways to now follow the only way to get to the kingdom. So there's a faith and there's an action. There's faith and there's works. Nowhere in the Bible, this is a big problem we have out here. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever find a verse that says you're saved by faith alone and grace alone. You won't find it. You're saved by faith through grace, Ephesians 2. Is it alone? What did Jesus say is going to accompany his people in John 15? If he is a glorious vine, and you're a branch. Do you ever see grapevines?
Yeah.
What does a really awesome grapevine produce when its branches go out?
Fruit.
A lot of fruit.
Yeah.
So Jesus is awesome vine. We're his branches. So by faith in his finished work, repentance, come out of the world, come out of your flesh, come out of false churchianity like this. Then you follow Christ and have a heart for it. And in Acts 5, it says God gives the Holy Spirit. You think it says to anybody who believes?
Off the top of my head. Say that again.
Does God give the Holy Spirit to anybody that just believes?
Depends on their heart, doesn't it?
It actually never says it anywhere. It says God gives the Holy Spirit in Acts 5 to those who obey him. Literally says that.
Doesn't it say in Romans 10 that you're saved by what you confess with your mouth, and it comes from where the position where your heart is?
Right, but go back to that. Your heart, out of your mouth, Jesus said, out of your heart, the abundance of your heart, your mouth does speak. Same thing is out of the abundance of your heart, your life does live. So if you really have God, doesn't that mean you're going to be following Christ and keeping his ways in all his teachings? So by faith and repentance, when God sees a willing vessel, he'll give you a new heart. It should show the fruit of changing everything about you.
Right.
Are you married?
No.
Have you ever been married?
No.
Okay. When you ever hope to get married, do you think when you get married to a woman that your life will change a lot? Yeah, everything changes. You stop looking at other women, thinking of other women, you think of her. You stop saying, I'm going to do whatever I want, you think of her. You stop saying, I don't got to go home no more, I got to go home to her. You want to go home to her. Everything changes. That's a marriage covenant. We're in a blood covenant today. And everything changes when you're born again, and now you test everything to the Word of God. And so you test how you act, how you talk, how you dress, how you spend your money, what you do with your time. Everything comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, believe in me, live any way you want. I got you covered. Doesn't say that. He said, lose your life to follow me. Whoever loses their life will gain it. Whoever finds their life is going to lose it. You know what that means?
Yeah, I get this part. What's some of the issues you have with the music?
Like with the music? It's carnal and fleshly, and the New Testament didn't use instruments. Instruments didn't come along for 900 years. You know who brought instruments back into the so-called New Testament body? Roman Catholics. They brought an organ in. Paul says we are now the instruments. Our heart is the instrument.
Do you know where it says that?
Yeah, in Ephesians. I got articles on all this on my teaching blog. Go to the teaching blog. I got articles on biblical music. So this is fleshly. Jump around, dance around, watching people on stage, standing up there in pride and vanity, making millions of dollars. That's not of God. If we're all saints, we're supposed to sing together and just lift up our voices to God. Nobody's lifted up.
Okay.
Pride and vanity. So holiness and obedience, and then you got to endure in the faith every day. You got to walk in that faith every day. You got to test everything. And ready? No willful sin you keep is forgiven.
Right.
Not carte blanche. It's not, I believe in Jesus and every one of my sins is gone because he died. No. He'll cleanse you from your past. He'll cleanse you of your sins today. But what do you got to do? And then you got to stop them. And what about your future sins? Hey, God, I'm going to sin a lot, and I'm going to keep sinning, and I don't plan on stopping it.
Then,
do you think that's the heart of God to do that? Nope.
Okay.
You got to repent and come out of every false way, folks. Check our testing on Life Fest.
There was a lot. I agreed with a lot of what you said.
Yeah,
But there's a couple things. So what do you think about the word Yahweh?
What about it?
Tell me.
What about it? It's another Hebrew word. There's all kinds of Hebrew words.
Four.
Why would you ask about that? What does it have to do with Life Fest?
No,
you're about to go into a worldly, carnal flesh fest, and you're asking me about Yahweh God.
You're judging me. I'm
judging you because you're going into a flesh fest.
But you can't judge me.
I can judge you. 1 Corinthians 5 tells me to judge the body. You look like a very worldly lady.
I agreed with so much.
You look like a worldly lady, so can I judge by your outside fruit? If you heard me saying the F word to him, would you judge the outside and say, wow, that guy's carnal? How about if I punched him in the face because he made me mad? Would you make a judgment and go, wow, he's not a preacher? I can see by your looks that your heart hasn't come to the outside, or no one's taught you maybe.
God is in me.
No, and
God is
if God's in your heart, it comes outward. And women cover their heads. The Bible teaches that. Men and women dress biblical. Men and women don't follow flesh fests. They don't promote millionaires. They don't follow carnality and flesh. They follow the Spirit. So that's the thing. You don't follow Jesus in your heart. You follow him by sound doctrine. And is this your husband?
Yeah.
Him and I should be talking because the Bible says when men are talking in the things of God or reasoning, doesn't the Bible say in 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14 that women should be silent and let the men reason in the word?
Oh, that's good.
So what it says in the word, sir. Check it out. We love you. Do you notice how feminization shuts down everything? And can I take you to a really important point? Feminization. What is feminization?
I disagree with your sign.
What is feminization?
That is wrong.
There's so many definitions.
Yeah. Feminism. Where did first feminization show up in the Bible?
Where is it? I have no clue.
Eve, she listened to Satan rather than going to her husband. Do you notice a man and a woman though? They're both claiming Jesus. Who's doing the talking?
She was asking questions.
Who's doing the talking? What does the Bible say she's supposed to ask?
I don't know that I agree with that one, because if you read it in Greek, it talks about... I don't even remember...
Paul says the women should ask their husbands at home, and then the husbands get the answer. That's God's order. 1 Corinthians 14. Go read the whole chapter for the context. And then 1 Timothy 2. He says, I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over men. Feminization is coming all over in the church system. Women used to cover their heads. They used to dress in a more biblical manner. Women are wearing makeup and jewelry claiming to be Christians. Harlots and pagans do that.
So do you have a problem talking with women that ask you questions?
If they're not married and they don't have a headship, I talk to them. I was talking to women over there. But if a woman has a husband that's a believer and I start preaching to her, am I not trampling on his headship?
So you had a problem because her husband...
He's right there.
Married,
yeah.
He's not talking and she is.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's feminization. I'm going to hold them to God's word. That's what it tells me to do.
I'll probably be back tomorrow with questions because I like to think on things. And I kind
tomorrow? What's going on here tomorrow?
They're here tomorrow, aren't they?
Just the church service in the morning, I think.
Oh, I thought there was...
No.
Maybe I'll see you on your site then.
You got my email.
Oh, you do? Okay.
My email's on there. I'd love the Bible study. We'd love to hear from you. Anything I teach that's unbiblical, you can contact me, and if you can show me in the word. But see, here's the thing.
That's your email?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my website. Yeah, don'tperish.com is my... Yeah, there's my email. And like I said, if you look up our testing, you'll see all of that. Roman Catholic link, false gospel, this is not godly music, and you worship God with your entire life and how you live, and carrying your temple biblically, your words biblically, your associations biblically, everything overtakes you. But see, this culture has decided they can choose whatever they want to believe, and Jesus has got to forgive me and do it.
I get all this part.
That's a strange worship, strange fire.
Where do you guys usually show up? Or you just
say that again?
Where do you guys usually go show up?
We go all over the country.
Oh, what are you planning on going next?
I retired to do this. We support ourselves. We sold everything we own. We live in a camper van.
Yeah,
we're van dwellers. And we don't take anyone's money. A young guy tried to shove money in my hand yesterday. We don't take money. We don't need money. We go all over the country. We come north in the summertime because the weather's nice and there's events. We go south in the wintertime because when it's zero here, there's not many people outside. And so we travel all over. We go to religious buildings and stand outside on the public sidewalk. The pastors call the police on me all the time. I got beat up at a Baptist church by their security guards on a public sidewalk. They stole my phone and my gospel signs. A man over there wanted to fight me and punch me in the face.
I heard that.
One guy kicked over my cooler.
You're going to get that wherever you go, though.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I know.
So when you preach the gospel and it's not what people want to hear. If I was here saying, God loves you, God loves everybody, they'd be bringing me cookies and coffee.
Yeah.
What did the prophets and Jesus and Paul and Peter teach? They taught what got them killed. You won't be liked if you preach the truth. If you're liked, you should go, God, what's wrong with my life?
Right.
And I want you to come out. I want you to be a biblical disciple. Do you live around here? I want you to be a biblical disciple. Do you go to a church body?
Yes.
What can I ask, which one?
Christ the Rock. I don't so much.
I heard about that one. That's Christ the Rock. Yeah, it's.
I don't so much go to the service very much. But yeah. I have a group of people I meet with. Yeah. Like,
they're not biblical. They're feminized. They preach a false gospel. Pagan holidays. That whole idea of showing up a church building. Worship God and then go out in the world. They all live like the world. What's wrong with that? Did they do that in the Bible?
They assembled together. Isn't that what Paul was referring to when he would write his letters?
Yeah, like true saints that showed up and they worshiped, sing, prayed, taught the word, and then they went out and they lived separate and holy. They
but
weren't like the world.
They didn't. If you read his letters, he had so many problems with what they were doing at the time.
Really?
Yeah, remember where he talks about like their sin?
Yeah, what was their sin? Ready? Everybody brings up carnal Corinthians, right?
Very similar.
1 Corinthians 3. What was their sin, do you know?
No, it's not my head.
Well, there was one man was sleeping with his father's wife.
Right.
So that's pretty heinous. But other than that, that was the only one sexual sin like that. What did Paul say was the carnal Corinthian sins? Did he say paganism, massive harlotry, you're linked to the ways of the world, you're doing a bunch of false doctrines? Envy and strife.
Right.
That was their sin that Paul called them. What do you think Paul would say if he showed up to this?
Probably something similar.
It's a lot worse. It's a lot worse. The saints in the Bible were godly, holy saints on a magnified level by 10 times compared to American churchianity. That's worldly, carnal, compromised, sinful, feminized, sodomized. Do you know what this Christian music is doing? this is bringing in the homosexual agenda. There's groups out there like Semler. There's a singer called Semler. It's a practicing lesbian. Many of these many of these contemporary Christian singers are starting to go, well, maybe we shouldn't judge them and open the door. They're opening the door, and little by little, it's opening the door. Here you go. Laura Daigle. You heard of her?
The gay one?
Promoting it totally, full-blown, and people still think she's of God. This is, Satan is getting his foot and his nose in the door, little at a time. Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. Now, Toby Mac, he went and united with his buddies at DC Talk. I think his name is Kevin Max. Kevin Max used to be a Christian with Toby Mac, a worldly carnal Christian. Kevin Max has now thrown Jesus to the curb and said, I'm not even a Christian anymore. I don't believe that. He's basically an antichrist spirit. He doesn't believe in Christ. Now he's promoting LGBTQ gay rights. Toby Mac went back and united with him for albums.
What was his name?
Kevin Max. I have a headline of it on my article. So does all of that sound like godly holiness and scripturally sound truth to you? I hope not. No.
But I would like to go through things.
I would. I'm happy to study with you, man. I'm happy to answer any questions for you. I love you. That's what I'm here. Ask yourself. I'm not popular. I don't sell things. I don't take any money. I don't have. I am on YouTube, but I'm not popular. I left them on there. I don't post on YouTube anymore. The only people that find my website are people that search. Like, if you search Life S Exposed, we come up number 2 on Google. If you search Denomination Is Exposed, we'll be on the first page. I've been doing this a long time. But the people that find us are we go out in the street like this. And why do you think we do this? To reach sheep. I met 3 young men today that said, I'm going to test what you're saying. My spirit is convicting me. You know what they did? They turned around and they said, I'm not going in there. And they left. That's why I would come here. To reach saints that they can see that this is not of God. And they can turn from it. And they can go, I got to go test this. And if you cry out to God and you start testing every way, you're going to find out. I got to warn you right now. I love you. How old are you?
31.
Okay. I got to warn you. You're going to lose everything. I lost my career. We lost our family. We lost our friends. We have 8 grandchildren. We only get to see 3 of them. They took all the rest of them away from us. They're all worldly and they're all churchianity people. We're the enemy. It's exactly what Jesus said it's going to cost you to lose, to find him. You got to lose your life. You'll lose your career aspiration. Let's say you wanted to be an NFL football player or a veterinarian and you go, Christ has called me. All of that goes away. You become a servant, a doulos. And guess what a doulos, a servant does? Does the will of his master, not his own will. And so you'll lose everything and you'll have to come out of that false church system and you'll have to say, I got to seek after. And your real family is holy, godly saints. And if you really desire Christ, you'll be willing to lose everything. And here's the last thing. If you love me, I love you. If you love me, you'll say, I met that guy. Him and his wife spent time with me. They didn't ask nothing of me. They don't want my money. They don't want nothing. You'll scour our website. And if we're wrong, you got to come and show us because we're wasting our life. We're wasting our time.
Right.
If you love us, you'll come show us. If you go, you don't love us. I say the love of God's not in you.
Right.
Make sense?
What was your name?
Tupos.
Tupos?
You know what it means?
She told me, but I have such a short memory.
It means in the Greek example, because that's what I want to be. My old name was James, but when I think of James, you know what it, my name is Jim, James. When I think of Jim, I was a drunken, fighting, partying pagan. My wife was Debbie. She was she'll tell women all the time, she was a harlot, partying.
You knew her before you came to God?
We were together before we came to God, and we were born again about 2 weeks apart from each other. It was awesome. God hardly ever calls one. He called 2 of us. It was awesome. But tupos means example, and amen, that's in Greek, and in Hebrew, amen means faithful. And so we took new names. You know why? The book of Revelation tells us we get new names. God's going to give us a new name. But we took new ones now because we want to be remembered for holiness and righteousness. And when I hear my name, I want to think of godly good things, not the old pagan Jim that used to fight and be carnal and be worldly and be sinful. So again, there's nothing, you don't have to change your name. There's nothing spiritual about it. We just did it because God put it on our hearts to cleanse everything. You notice we don't wear wedding rings. Why? They're pagan. I mean, everything. I mean, we gave up all the worldly holidays. Here you go, 4th of July just went by.
Isn't there something about rings in the Old Testament?
Oh, the Jews had all kinds of adornments and all that kind of stuff that they melted down and made idols out of. And God, but see, again, you got to distinguish between the Old Testament and the New. They were under the law. They were dead. God had them hanging the Word of God between their eyes and on their clothing to remember Him. Who do we have to remember God today? Holy Spirit. So it's totally different today. We don't need jumping up and down and dancing today. God says, obey me. And in the Old Testament, it does say, Solomon said, ready? This is the duty of man. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And in Samuel, it says, God requires obedience, not sacrifice. God wants your obedience. That's your worship more than anything.
So back to David.
Yeah.
Real quick. So it wasn't wrong then because the Holy Spirit wasn't in him.
It was upon him at times, but it wasn't dwelling in him. And God's order of worship was, ready? People will always tell me this, ready? Oh, in the Old Testament, they sang instruments, they did all this stuff. And I said, really? Okay, if you're going to go with that, why don't you use the instruments they used in the Old Testament? Harps. Harps are soothing and calm. Okay? What are they using today? Electric guitar, drums, synthesizers. Wah! You see the difference? So we're the instrument today. We don't need that instrumental music. But yeah, they had the outward expression of the Holy Spirit. Today we have the inward Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Show me anywhere that Paul danced around like a fleshly carnal pagan, or Peter, or Jesus. Never did. Jesus gives us the Lord's, I love this. Jesus gives us the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26. An important thing. Gives the bread, he gives the wine. And then they brought in the band and they rocked out in all kinds of funky music. They sang a hymn. Simple. Did you see the simplicity and the beauty with their voices offering something to God? You and I, it wouldn't be beautiful if I sang, but God sees it as beautiful. Just offering to God, not thumping on a guitar, dancing around. That's flesh. God wants spirit today. I can prove it. Jesus said God is a spirit and we must worship him in
spirit. I hate to change subject, but I had one more question real quick. You had problems with women. Did you have any problems with the men, the way they were dressing? She was saying something.
Absolutely.
What was the issues you had with that?
They're not dressing biblical. God killed animals and put us in a tunic-like garment in Genesis 3 to cover our forms. First shedding of blood, archetype of Jesus. So if I walk around and I show off my body and not wearing... If God did it, isn't it important? He did it himself. Adam and Eve dressed themselves and God said, not good enough. Here, do this. Don't you think that's important?
So how should men dress?
How should men dress? In a tunic-like garment. A loose, unadorned garment that covers their form. That's what God put us in.
But does it say that in the New Testament?
Yeah. Well, it says it in Genesis 3.
But now we're going to the Old Testament.
No, and we do follow some of the Old Testament things. One man and one woman is in Genesis 1.
Right, but
creation's in Genesis 1.
That's also in the New Testament as well, if I can recall correctly.
Right. And then robes and tunics is all over the New Testament. Jesus wore one, Paul wore one, Peter wore one. And then it tells, yeah, it's all over. I have articles on that. Look up men, look up dress for Christian men. I go through an article and I show you from the Old Testament, all the places robe, tunic, vesture shows up through the Bible. You think they were wearing shorts and t-shirts in the Bible? Go to the Middle East today. What do you see?
The Roman soldiers were.
They were pagans.
Yeah.
They were not of God. Go to the Middle East today. What do you see the Jews wearing? Tunics. Even the Muslims got that right, because they stole a lot of stuff from Christianity. Right. The Muslims come along 800 years after Christ. Some lady told me, oh, you teach your wife to cover her head. The Muslims do that. I said, that was 800 years after Paul penned 1 Corinthians 11, women cover your heads.
A lot of people around here do that. Like the, what's people who don't believe in technology?
The Anabaptists and stuff? Amish? Okay, Mennonites?
Basically.
Yeah, they're not biblical people. We're not from them.
But no, I was just getting that it's more Muslims that cover their heads around here. That wasn't something surprising.
Yeah, but it's in the scriptures. And feminization took over and women ripped their head coverings off and started dressing worldly. So yeah, I absolutely do talk about men and women. You'll see it all over my teachings. Men and women, this is the temple of God.
Right. I haven't looked through it. That's why.
Clothing is sin covering. So here's the thing. Now, I have to say, you're not dressed flashy. I don't see any like pride and vanity in you. I got to be honest, okay?
I dress because it's hot.
Huh?
I dress because it's hot.
Okay, so what you see, though, is when you see a guy walking around with a shirt multicolored, Green Bay Packers on it, it's two sizes too tight, he's got tattoos, his hair's dippity-dude back, and he's walking by.
Right.
What is that? Is that lowliness and humility or pride and vanity?
Pride.
Looks like a peacock.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
So you look very plain. I think I would adjust a little bit, but you look very plain, so I wouldn't call somebody like you out, but these guys, there was a guy standing over there, muscle shirt. I used to be a bodybuilder. I know all about this. Guy standing in a muscle shirt, you could tell he works out. And I said, he's arguing doctrine. And I said, sir, are you going in there? Yeah. What's the gospel? He didn't know the gospel. I said, so wait a minute. You don't know the gospel. You're going into this flesh fest and you're talking to me about sound doctrine. I said, why should I take sound doctrine from someone like you? And he goes, why? What's wrong with me? I said, Jesus said we know a tree by its fruit, right? I said, you already told me you go to a worldly church. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, they got a lot of sin. He admitted it. I said, you're going into this place, right? Yeah. He said, yeah, they got a lot of sin in there too. I said, and you look just like the world. And he said, you can't judge my heart because of how I look. And I said, you can't be serious. Right. And I used the saying, what if I start using the F word? Is that godly?
No.
But that's just a word. Right? That's just a word. Oh, my wife, yeah. That's just a word. So you see what I'm saying? All aspects of our life. How many sins? I love to teach this. How many sins put Adam and Eve out of the garden?
First one.
One. How many sins in Leviticus 10, two men brought strange fire? They said, I'm going to worship you, God, our way. God turned them into charcoal briquettes. One sin. Now you might say, well, that's the Old Testament. That was under law. Now we're under grace. How many sins did it take in Acts 5 after Jesus has rose again for God to kill Ananias and Sapphira, one couple?
Wait, say that again?
He killed a couple, a husband and wife.
Oh, you're talking about the one that stole?
Basically, they lied about how much they got. One lie.
Stealing, same thing.
And I love this. I love to teach people this. In Mark 10, Jesus is talking to the rich man, and he says, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep the law. He says, I've done that. Loved my father and kept the commandments. And Jesus didn't argue. Then I love this. It says, Jesus loved him and said, one thing you lack. Do you know what people in the street, when I show them the thing they lack, they say, you're judgmental, you hate me, leave me alone, you don't love me. Jesus loved him and said, one thing you lack. What was the one thing he lacked? Jesus said, go sell your stuff and follow. He loved his stuff.
Yeah.
He loved his stuff. So here's the deal. What one thing you love more than God, one sin you're holding on to, you're going to lose your soul over one sin. You will. One unrepented sin will not come before God. You got to turn away from everything. Total surrender. Lose your life to follow him. Become a vessel. Your life is a vessel. Have you sinned a lot? Okay. My life was a vessel. I sinned a lot. Worst of the worst. I tell people all the time, other than homosexuality, hard drugs, and physical murder, I've done everything else other than those three. I thought about it. It's only three I can't think of.
Depending on your definition of murder.
No, I said physical murder.
Oh.
Yeah, I've hated people, obviously. Here it is. My vessel's full of garbage. You know what most people do? Oh, I want to go to heaven. They dump an inch off and they go, fill the top, Jesus, with living water. Let me ask you a question. Would you drink that? Full of sewage, full of sin, full of garbage, an inch of clear water on top. Would you drink that? Jesus says, empty your vessel, repent fully, cleanse it.
Do you think it's
wait,
possible?
And then he fills it with living water. Now will you drink that? Yeah.
Do you think it's possible to be perfectly sinless once you're...
No.
Okay. Well,
I do sin.
Yeah.
But here's the difference. When a man spits on my wife and calls her a C-U-N-T, happened the other day,
yeah.
You think that gets in my flesh a little bit?
Of course.
So when I think a bad thought about him and I go, man, if I was the old man, and I go, Father, that's not of you. I repent of that. So I just sinned,
okay. But
I repent of it. I don't practice that. I don't chase him down and pummel him. What kind of street preacher would I be if I fought with that guy who wanted to fight me and another guy over there wanted to fight me? What kind of preacher of righteousness would I be? So you might fall into sin, but don't practice it. This is practicing sin. Christmas and Easter are practicing sin. Sunday church is practicing sin. Knowing we should dress, live, and act different and we don't is practicing sin. Just having a thought, just having something in the flesh is not practicing sin. We still need to repent of it and flee it. So that's why Paul says, cast down every imagination. And Paul says, walk in purity, walk and be blameless. American Christians don't care about being blameless. And I like to teach people this too. Ready? They say, you're a workspace. You're going to hear people, if you show them my website, oh, they're workspace. Let me ask you a question.
I didn't think you were workspace.
No, but a lot of people say, does God give us faith?
Yes.
Yeah. Does God give us repentance? Does God give us new life?
Yes.
Does God give us grace to walk in holiness and obedience?
Yes.
Does God give us the ability by the Spirit and the Word to endure?
Yes.
That's the gospel I just preached to you. I just confessed to you that God gives it all to us. How could I work there?
Right.
I can't, but
I understand that part.
I can't work there, but here's the thing. The reason they say that is because they want to protect their sin. They want to say it's works, and they pull out this faith alone, grace alone, which is not in the Bible. They pull out every false way. Hey, sir, this is corrupt Christianity.
That's one man's opinion.
Yeah, really? Show me. Can you bring your Bible with the gospel?
Gospel? You mean like Psalms where it talks about David?
The gospel, the good news, how to find eternal life. You want to talk about it?
You believe in Jesus Christ.
You want to talk about it? It's not just believe in Jesus.
If you add anything else to that, you're a liar.
do you
I get what you're saying. Well, I'm gonna get going. I'm gonna ask you more questions.
I'm here for you, man.
I like thinking on things.
You can, yeah, of course. You look like a real intellect, a thinker. That's good. But ready? Last thing, I promise.
Sure.
Unless you ask me something, I'm gonna pray for you. I don't pray with people in the street. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, don't give, but he did say, let your good works be seen. So I do that. I don't pray with people and I don't boast about giving, but I'm going to pray in my own prayer life. I'm going to pray something for you. Can I tell you what it is?
Sure.
Ready? Prothumia.
Something.
It's a Greek word. Go look up Acts 17. The Bereans tested Apostle Paul. They're called noble because they tested everything he said to the word of God.
Oh, I know.
I want you to test everything. And when it says they had the readiness of mind to obey, I love that Greek word. It means prothumia. And it means you hear the word of God. You don't just hear it and then it just leaves and you go turn on the TV and watch the Packers and live in a worldly carnal life and it flies out the ear, flies out your head, it's gone. You act upon it to believe it and follow it. And that's what I'm going to pray for you. You've got a ton of truth from my wife and I. We love you. That you act upon it and count the cost and go, I'm ready. I'm discipling a young man I met out street preaching 2 weeks ago. And I asked him this question. Are you serious? He said, I think I am. I said, we're going to find out how serious. Ready? He said, yeah. I said, are you willing to lose your mom, your dad, your family, your friends, your career, lose everything for the cause of Christ? And it took him 10 seconds. He goes, yeah, I'm ready. He said, I got to think about it for 10 seconds. Took him 10 seconds. Most young men, he's like 25. Most young men that I asked that, they go, oh, I got to think about it. They go away, and guess what? They never come back.
Right.
So I'm going to pray for you, prothumia, readiness of mind to hear this, to go test it in the Word of God. And if you want to study, if you need help, if you need any questions,
I got your email.
I'm here for you, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
I love you. Thank you for stopping.
All right.
God be praised. Loving our neighbor today, lifting up Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Holy is the Lamb of God. He's so worthy to be praised and lifted up. Jesus made the narrow way of eternal life. But that way of eternal life, you can't continue on in your sin and worldliness. This is sin and worldliness. This is false Christianity. This is flesh that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let's be honest. Look up our testing of LifeFest. Google it. LifeFest Exposed. It comes up number 2 on Google. We show you this is Roman Catholic linked. This is worldly. This is selling the things of God. This has a false gospel. The sheep of God hear and they respond to the truth of God. The goats go in and entertain themselves. What are you today? A sheep or a goat? That was a good talk with a young man that was listening. Sister Amin talked to him while I was talking to somebody else.
Right.
He seemed like a real, he said, I'm a thinker. I said, I can tell. He said, I'm going to be talking to you. He said, I'm going to be looking all this up. He said, you really got me thinking about a lot of things.
Right. He asked me a lot of questions, yeah, and I knew you were busy, so yep, I answered him.
Yep, yep.
So, and then I told him if he wanted deeper teachings that you'd be happy to help him, and then you
could. Awesome. Definitely a seeker, not a mocker, and he definitely seemed like he wants the things of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Using us today for those that are seekers. Yeah, all the worldly, carnal, fleshly goats are going into the rock fest, to the fleshly music. But seekers listen to the word of God and test themselves, and that glorifies Jesus Christ.
Amen.